of Ephesians, chapter 1. We start on through. And last week we talked the idea of being in Christ and what that means, of being saved. That in here, that, you know, I use the illustration of being on the bus. Are you on the bus with the Lord? Have you gotten your ticket? Then the only way to get on that bus is by accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And then we are in Him. This morning we're going to look at a bunch of blessings we have because of that fact. You know, as Christians, often we live in this world. We see all that's going on. And do you ever feel like you're out of place? You ever feel like you're out of place? You ever, you know, I talked to someone the other day and I said, you know, I almost feel like I must have woke up this morning and took my crazy pills because this world's getting crazy. You know, things that seemed like it was common sense, not so common anymore. The values that I grew up with are being passed on. Right? I can't be the only one. And that struggle comes in. And some of it is because of our faith, because of what we believe, and what we believe to be true, and what we try to live according to that truth, it sometimes clashes with the world. And so what happens is, if the only place I am in is in the world, I'm surrounded by unsaved or worldly people, that eventually I start thinking maybe I am crazy. No comments, please. I don't. That's a whole different thing. All right? But in here, right? All of a sudden you feel like, man, am I the only one? But when we get together with God's people, and it's one of the benefits of church, the importance of a local assembly of believers, is that we get together and you know what? We believe the same thing. We hold the same values. We pursue the same goals. And you know what? I'm not as crazy as I thought I was. That church becomes sort of that sanity check of how to be a husband, of how to raise my children, of how to, you know, just live in this world, how to be a good grandparent, all these things, right? Because of this. And so when Paul starts off this letter to the Ephesians, and he starts writing to them and encouraging them, he wants to do is ground them in the truth of who they are. So this morning, you know, John said, last week was one of the best messages I ever preached. He goes, will you do it again? I said, well, don't put your hopes up. I can't promise you anything. But the subject matter is great, because I get to talk this morning about what we have in Christ. I get to talk about Jesus this morning. That's a good thing. I don't know how well I'll do, but hopefully we'll bring it across here this morning. But Ephesians chapter 1, I'm starting at verse 3. I'm going to read this down through. Now, 14, he lists all these things. We're not going to get through this whole list this morning, so next week we'll pick up where we left off. I guess we'll probably get to verse 7 this morning. So that's where I'm going to read, all right? Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 through verse 7. It said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Just as He chose us in Him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Having predestined us to the adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace by which He made us accepted in Him the Beloved. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray just reveal Yourself this morning. Let's open the Word, and Lord, let the Spirit be the teacher. Give us attentive ears and hearts to hear Your voice. Lord, we ask this in Your name. Amen. All right. You know, in here, we talk about this idea of spiritual blessings. And verse 3 talks about, look, that we all have, because in Christ, remember we talk about the idea of in Christ, if you are a born-again believer, if you've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that He has come and dwelt in us, and we are in Him. We're like double-wrapped. Now we have God in us and we have God around us. We are safe and secure in all those things, no matter what happens around. This past week, or I think it was a couple weeks ago, we were watching some YouTube videos. And I don't know if it was the last time you've been to a fair. They have this ride now where they put you in this gyro ball. It's this kind of caged ball you go into, and you sit down and you buckle into it, and it's on bungee cords, and they stretch it and they stretch it, and they let go of it, and they bounce you up, I don't know, probably 50 feet up in the air, and you just kind of free fall, and the bungee, they have like four bungee cords that kind of hold it. How many have seen this? You know what I'm talking about. How many want to go on one? I used to be adventurous. And I look at that and like, no way. And they have a video camera right here to record you on this ride. And then there's YouTube with videos of people, I can't repeat everything they said, as they're being flung through the air. People were passing out. People were losing their lunch. Which is bad because you bounce right down into it. Right? The guy says, look, you're safe and secure. Right? You're fastened inside and out. Maybe the Christian life is a little bit like that. You know, the ride can be really bumpy along the way, but praise God, we are secure inside and out. And maybe some of you have been through that bumpy road. But we are secured in Christ Jesus. And we're safe in the midst of it all. And then here he gives us these spiritual blessings. And then all these spiritual blessings are contained in him. Because they're all through him, and you are in Christ, you already have all these things. So this morning, I have six things I want to list through so far in these first seven verses that we have in Christ. Now hopefully it's an encouragement to you in your walk of what you have in him. First, I want to take a look at verse 4. It says, just as he chose us in him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. The first thing that we have here in verse 4 is we are chosen. We are chosen. You, maybe I should get this really personal. I am chosen. You are chosen because of Christ. In here he talks about, look, before eternity began, God looked down eternity and saw you loving him. That's a wonderful thing. Has anyone here won anything big? I'm just curious. Has anyone here won anything big? Anyone play the lottery and won millions of dollars or won a car? Or anyone won anything really big? I don't feel so bad because I don't win anything. Right? I don't win anything. So I didn't even try, you know? And so in here, anyway, we talk about this idea that in Christ, I'm a winner. Right? In Christ, you are a winner. Now, last week we talked about the idea of, free will and all that. Throw that all out the window this morning, okay? I want you to really think about yourself this way. That you are chosen. I remember in school, way back in junior high, and we'd go in gym class, and we would play soccer or basketball and all of that. And they always had the two captains, and I was never a captain. I wasn't very good at sports. I was kind of tall and lanky, but I was one of these kids that I didn't know what to do with myself. I tripped over myself. I couldn't catch anything. And so they'd line everyone all up. And I was this skinny little rail of a thing. And so I was never the captain because I wasn't popular. So they always had two captains. And they would go through and say, you pick and then you pick and you pick. You know what I'm talking about, right? And there was always me and Bobby Joe who were left. I was never picked. And even then when we got down to the end, it would be kind of like me and Bobby Joe. And then the last thing would be, you can have John. Right? And so anyway, I was never good at all those sports and all that. So I was like, you know, I'm going to do that. So I learned how to juggle basketballs and do my own. I can't do your thing, so I'm going to do my own thing. Right? I'm going to, you know? But I was never picked. It was always the star guy or the star girl who was always picked first, right? Oh, we want Steve. Yeah, Steve. Yeah. Steve. Right? But I was never picked. I was never a popular kid. Don't tell my daughter this because I always like to joke around with her. I said, it must be so hard for her to have a cool dad. You know, for a young girl to grow up with such an awesome dad that she'd have to live up to. I wasn't awesome and I wasn't cool. I was none of those things. I was never invited. I was never picked. But praise God, He picked me. In the scope of everything that's going on in this world, God, through eternity past, before He even put the planets in place, before He even put a fish in the ocean, before He did anything, that looked down at eternity and says, I want John. Well, take that, Steve. You know, it's like, God, the creator of the universe, knew my name before I even existed. I'm chosen. And so are you. Regardless of this world, no matter whose team, you know, it's funny because I thought, well, you know, you get done with, you know, junior high and becoming an adult. I found, you know, the workplace and everything else, it's just like junior high all over again. There's still the popular kids. There's still all those things. Everyone has their teams. Now we just do it on Facebook, right? Now people are on Facebook. And how many friends can you have? You look on there and, you know, some people have thousands of friends. And there's always that one person who only has, you know, just a few. And they put on there, well, if no one comments on this, I won't be your friends anymore, right? They're desperately looking for that acceptance. Praise God that you are chosen. He picked you beyond everything else. What a blessing that is. That God has given us these spiritual blessings. You're chosen. Never doubt that. If you are in Christ, you are chosen. God knows your name. That in here, throughout eternity, if no one ever got saved, He still would have died on the cross just for you. That's pretty cool, isn't it? We are chosen in Christ. Second thing, I want to take a look at verse 4. It says, He chose, just as He chose us in Him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy without blame before Him in love. Verse 4, at the end of it, talks about that because we are in Christ, we are holy and without blame. We are holy and without blame. What a blessing that is in our lives. Think about this. That in here, Romans chapter 8, verse 1, says, there's therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Because I am in Christ, when God looks at me, He no longer sees my sin. He sees me as holy. Now, in my life, I've always kind of been labeled as responsible. You can say, oh, that's a good thing. Well, no. What I mean is, if anything went wrong, I was responsible. This morning, I messed up this morning. Poor John Maddox, he gave me the Play-Doh for the church. We had used it over at Good News Club. And I said, oh, I'll take that and drop it off at the church. And so Nancy came up to me this morning and said, Pastor, where's the Play-Doh? It's in my truck at home. It's frozen. Not a lot of fun. You know, Play-Doh's the goal. Right? It's like I already messed up this morning. In more ways, I'm not even going to tell you all how I already messed up this morning, right? And you feel that, don't you? You feel like what you want to be and what you should be, and you ever feel like you let people down? That you're to blame? Because I am in Christ, and because you are in Christ, the Bible says that there's therefore no condemnation. He doesn't hold you to blame. He took that price. He paid that penalty for you and for me. And I am in Christ, and when God the Father looks at me, He sees a sinless Jesus in me. So many people carry around so much weight of their failures of the past. All the woulda, coulda, shouldas. Right? All these things that weigh us down. If only I had chose something different. And we carry these things around. You know, I thought raising little kids were hard. And now all of a sudden your kids become adults. And all of a sudden now your older kids kind of look at you like all the things you kind of done wrong. You ever feel kind of like that? You know? Everyone's so quick to point the finger. And oftentimes what happens when I'm alone is it's me and God. And God, how do you see me? The Bible says you are blameless before Him. What a blessing that is, folks. That we are blameless. He takes our sins and casts it away. And He remembers them no more. Verse 5. It says, that having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. That in here, in our lives, verse 5 tells us, because I am in Christ, not only am I chosen, not only am I without blame, but I am adopted. I am adopted. Now, I didn't have a normal life child growing up. Growing up, all my siblings had dark hair, and I was a towhead. That growing up, my parents were divorced when I was 5 years old, and for some reason in the divorce, my mom got all the paperwork for all of us, except for mine. For some reason, my dad ended up with it. So growing up, I remember going through all these things, and we couldn't find my birth certificate. Well, my sister, who was 5 years older, she would say, because you're adopted. And I'm like, no, no, no. And she goes, well, go ask mom for baby pictures. Newborn pictures. Because my mom had booklets, and she had pictures of all, you know, her holding all the... And I said, well, mom, can I see my newborn pictures? My mom's like, well, we don't have any. Because my mom was in labor for like 48 hours. They pulled me out with forceps. I was beat up. My mom said I looked like a boxer had just gone to town on me. So they didn't take any pictures for the first like 2 months I was born. My sister's like, see, because you're adopted. She goes, look, we all have dark hair. You have white hair. Why? Because you're adopted. And so I would be in tears. So I was like in second grade. I still thought I was adopted and my mom lied to me. And she says, you don't belong here because you're adopted. You know, so many people just want a place to belong. Years and years later, I remember talking to a mom who actually did adopt. And their siblings were doing sort of the same thing. And they're like, well, you're adopted. You're not really wanted. And they got the kid all worked up. So the kid came to their mom and said, Mom, I'm not really yours, am I? And this mom, I think, said the most beautiful picture. She turned around and she says, you know what? She says, you go back and tell them. She goes, I had to have them, but we chose you. We didn't have to have you, but we wanted you. Folks, when we are in Christ, He has chosen us, and He, the God of the universe, has now brought us into His presence, and He calls us His children. That in here, He didn't have to, but He chose us to belong to Him. Romans chapter 8, verse 15 says, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by which we cry out, Abba, Father. That in here, we don't have to fear God because He's our dad. That He comes boldly before us. You know, I tell my daughter, you know what? You can come to me and tell me anything because I'm your dad. There's nothing that you can do that will make me love you less. I may not like what you do, but you will always be my child. Because you belong to me. Right? Most of you here have adult children. Or have children at home. Is there anything they would do that would make you not love them anymore? No, because they're your kid. In here, because we are in Christ, we belong to Him. And here this verse says we can come to Him and cry out, Abba, Father. Now, Abba is a Greek term which means like daddy. Not a formal thing. When we come to God in prayer or what we're going through, we don't have to say, excuse me, sir. Oh God, who is so big and so powerful, let me come before you. No, the Bible says here that we can come before Him and cry out, hey, Daddy, guess what I need? And my daughter goes out and scuffs her knee. I'm like, come to Daddy. Right? Let me take care of it. Years ago with my older daughter, when she was like 13, some boys were picking on her. And I was over across the room and I saw that, and you don't mess with my daughter. So all these boys, they all thought they were all that in the bag of chips, and they were all, you know, talking to her and teasing her and all that. And as she was standing there, I kind of came up behind her. I said, what's going on? Well, you should see these boys just shut up so quick. I said, you know who she is? And they're like, no. I said, she's mine. I said, you mess with her, you mess with me. You guys have anything you want to say? No, sir. Good. Why? Because she belonged to me. Folks, we are adopted. We are His children. When they mess with us, they mess with Him. He's got our back. He loves and cares and nurtures. He's our daddy. So one more I want to look at this morning. Because we are in Him. Do I have one more or two more? In Him we are chosen. In Him we are blameless. In Him we are adopted. The last thing I want to take, actually I got one more after this maybe. We have redemption. Verse 7. It says, in Him we have redemption through the blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. That we are redeemed. That's not a word we usually use too often today. But we have redemption centers. If you go and take a soda can and you go down to the store, they'll give you 5 cents for that can. Why? Because they buy it back. That's what the term redemption means. It means to buy back. That in this, we are bought by His blood. Romans 3, 23 and 24 says, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." That in here, we are called that we are redeemed. That there was a price that had to be paid. We were lost. I was lost in my sin. I had a debt that I owed to God, for the wages of sin is death, that I could not pay. And Jesus saw that. And He paid the price for you. He paid that price for you. He loves you so much that He didn't want to leave you in that condition. He didn't want to leave you lost. He didn't want to leave you separated from Himself. But in here, He paid a price. And what was that price? It was Himself. Now, we've been here almost 2 years. Actually, we're coming up, I was looking at the calendar. We're coming up with like real close to the 1 year, 2 year point. 2 years ago was the first time I preached here. You guys fed me and I haven't gone away since. And we've grown to just love you guys. We love our church. But you know what? If I had to pick between you and my daughter, I'm going to pick her. She's a lot cuter. Right? And you understand that, right? Because she's your kid. Think about this. For God so loved you that He gave His one and only Son, that if you will believe in Him, you will not perish, but you will have everlasting life. God loved you so much that He gave up, He sacrificed His perfect Son for you. Wow. You can say, "Well, I don't deserve that." No, you don't. But He did it anyways. Never doubt His love, folks. Never doubt His care for you. Because when you are in Him, you are redeemed. He paid no matter what the price was. He was willing to pay that price to win you back. You're worth it to Him. Because you are in Christ. I do have one more. Verse 7 at the end of it. It says, "In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace." We have forgiveness. This kind of goes along with the idea when we talk about the blameless. But folks, there is nothing that you have ever done or anything that you will ever do that God cannot forgive you. I think sometimes some of us have a hard time grasping that because we have a hard time forgiving ourselves. Years ago, I invited someone to come to church. And they're like, "Well, I can't go." I said, "Why?" "Because you don't know what I have done." No, I don't. And you know what? And I don't need to. But I do know that God loves you more than what your sin is. When you are in Christ, you are forgiven. Psalms 103, verse 10, starts off with, "And He has not dealt with us according to our sins." I'm thankful for that. I am so thankful that God does not give me what I deserve. Because you may think I'm a wonderful and great guy. My wife will tell you different. Oh, don't laugh at that, John, right? Well, I'm an idiot. I'm a jerk. I have wicked thoughts. I have temptations in my life. And God sees it all. But He loves me. And in this, He looks down at me and He says, He doesn't deal with us according to our sin, nor punish us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. Paul tells us that His grace is sufficient for all our needs. Where sin did abound, grace much more than abound. That folks, there's nothing in your life that His blood cannot wash away. And we are declared clean. You know, we have other people who want to bring up all our past garbage. Satan loves to throw it at us. Remind us, whispers in our ear. But remember that time? God could never love you. God can never use you because of this and because of that. Remember this verse. The Bible says, you know what? God took my sin and threw it as far as the east is from the west. No matter what your sin is, God's grace is greater. And we are forgiven. What a blessing. All these things we have. And guess what? Next week the list goes on. It gets better as we go down of all the things we have in Christ. By accepting Him, all these things are ours and more. That in here, He has chosen us. We are blameless. We are adopted. We are redeemed, and we are forgiven. All to the glory of the Father. All because we belong to Him. If you're here this morning, and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, or you're not sure, He offers all these things to you freely. The Bible says if we will confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in our heart that God raised Him from the dead, we shall be saved. Believe that I'm a sinner and my sin keeps me from God. That Jesus came and died on the cross for my sins, for your sins. And through grace accept that free gift and say, Lord Jesus, forgive me. And I know Jesus died on the cross for my sins. Come into my life. The Bible says if we will do that, He will do that. And He will come and dwell in us. And all these things we've talked about are yours. If you're here this morning and you know the Lord Jesus Christ, but sometimes we lose sight of all that we have. We take for granted His love and His grace towards us. We lose perspective. This morning is for you to remember what you have in Him. Don't lose hope. He hasn't abandoned you. That in this we have all these things and more. And in here the cry should be for us to get closer to Him. Lord, help me to just love You more for what You've done for me. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we ask Your blessing upon us. Lord, we thank You for all that we have in You, Lord. The price was not free. It cost You Your life. But Lord, it's given to us so freely. Thank You, Lord, for what we have in You. We ask this in Your name. Amen.